Hello, everyone. Let's check my mic. I think I'm hooked up. Can you hear me okay? Let me know. Yes, awesome. How is everyone tonight? Tonight, we are going to continue the coaches calls, the Monday night coaches calls that are around holidays. I don't know if you've realized this, but it's been kind of fun. Over the past month through November and then on into December, we've done some coaching calls that are specific to holiday stress, things like holiday spending, COVID and the holidays, prepping your holiday meals, holiday spending. Next week, Coach Julie is going to do one on missing your loved ones during the holidays, on grief. So tonight, we are going to talk about other people's opinions. And I know that comes up for a lot of us at the holidays. We worry about what's Uncle Jack going to say when he sees me in this dress? What's my mama going to say when I don't want to eat her pumpkin pie? You know, it's all about thinking about other people's opinions tonight. So if you want to be coached on other people's opinions, just raise your hand and we'll get to work. And let's see who we've got. Oh, we've got some hands raised. So let's go on and do some coaching. So I've got Emily first and then Terry. Emily, let's see if we can get you rolling. Oh, there you are. Hello.
Okay. So I had, when I saw tonight was other people's opinions, I was like, this is perfect because I have been going through some struggles with opinions coming from my mom about our housing situation, and it's towards me and my fiance. So the backstory about our living situation is, my great-grandparents have a house, and when they passed away, it went on to my grandmother, but my grandmother is not physically able to get into the home since it's an old Victorian-style home, and my parents redid it and restored it to its original glory, I guess you could say, and how they wanted it. Now, my mom and dad do not want to move. My dad does not want to move into the house because he doesn't want to leave from where he grew up and where they've lived for over 30 years. My mom wants to live here and move to the house they restored that was her grandmother's house because she was here as a kid a lot. There's my kitty, sorry. She grew up here and she stayed here during college and she would like to move back, and they did all the hard work and put all the money into restoring the home. But it just worked out that me and my fiance started living here and they said it was fine, and now we're paying bills and we've lived here almost a year. But she says some pretty nasty things to me around the home, and it comes up a lot during the holidays. Just things like, well, when are you going to move out? Or she'd be like, well, you know, we're going to live there and we're going to switch homes. And her wish is that I would move into the other home that they're currently living in so that they can switch and live here. So, but then in a few years when they get elderly and they can't go up and down the stairs, they want to move back. But me and my fiance don't want to live in the home that they're in currently. And so it just brings up a lot. And like, I've done really good. I've lost 30 pounds so far. But whenever this is brought up, and it's usually during the holidays because she sees me decorating and she wishes she was decorating. So she would say, you know, don't touch my things. Or she will decorate. She'll come over and decorate something how she would want it if she were living here. And then I'm not allowed to touch it, or it is all out hell. And it's like,
the problem is with that. Tell me what the problem is. Let's just focus in on one of the issues. How about the decorating? Okay. So what does she say exactly when you decorate?
Her line every single time is, that is my home. That is how I want it decorated. And that's how it needs to stay until we move in.
Okay. Mom says, that's my home. That's how I want it decorated. That's how it needs to stay.
Yes.
What's your thought about what she says?
But I'm the one living here and we are paying for it. We've been here a long time. Okay. And my also thought is, I know my dad doesn't want to move here. So in my head, I'm thinking, you're never going to live here.
All right. So all those things, how does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel really small. Like I'm being belittled. Like I am only 25.
You feel belittled. All right. That's okay. This is really good. Okay. I'm going to bring out my board here. And we've got up here, we've got mom talking. And she's saying all the things. That's my house. This is how I want it decorated. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when she's talking, you feel small and belittled. Right? I would offer to you that you don't feel small and belittled because mom's talking. It's because you have a thought about what she's saying. And the thought that you gave me was, that's my house. When you say, that's my house, you don't feel small and belittled. You feel like ownership. You feel possessive, right? There's another thought that's making you feel small and belittled. And it's a thought about her saying, that's my house. Decorate it this way.
I've tried to do this model thinking this is what Kathy would do.
Well, okay, let me ask it a different way. Why do you feel belittled? Why do you feel small?
I guess because it's coming from my mom and that's the one person that can get to me.
Why can she get to you? Why is she that one person that can get to you? Because why is it your mom that can get to you?
I guess just because her opinion matters to me the most out of anyone's, and I don't want her to be hurt, but I also want her so bad to see how I feel, but we just can't see each other's sides.
Okay. Maybe let's work with that. We can't see each other's sides. So that means she can't see your side. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
She doesn't get me here. She doesn't get my perspective. What do you think?
Yeah. And plus then my fiance comes into it and he's still trying to impress them. And then, he'll do something that maybe scratches the floor. And then she's upset about that. And here again, I'm thinking, I just want her to like him. I just want her to be okay and see my side on this. Those things happen. Just teach me how to fix it. And we will. Okay. But she just won't.
So she doesn't see my side.
Right. That's it.
Okay. And when you think that she doesn't see my side, you feel small and belittled, probably unimportant,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you feel those things, what are you doing or not doing?
That is where, no matter where I am, I've lost 30 pounds and I will be on the downward slope going nowhere but down. And she says something and boom, I go to Oreos and milk. I go to eating. And I know what to do. I'm telling myself, you don't need to be stress eating and doing this, but mm-hmm. I just do.
What else do you, what are you not doing?
I'm not following my plan.
Okay. Are you avoiding her?
Yeah.
Are you talking back? Are you arguing? Are you withdrawing? Are you avoiding?
Well, I start crying, and I'm crying because I'm angry. not because I'm sad.
Yeah.
She does the same thing, and our voices just get louder, and I hate doing that because in our lives, this is the only thing we fight about.
Okay. So effectively, when you're eating, not following plan, crying and arguing, you're not taking care of yourself either. Your thought is, she doesn't see my side. And when you're doing these things, you're detaching from yourself as well. You're detaching from what you really want. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you feel small and belittled.
That's exactly.
Yeah. So how do you not do that? That's the question, right? How do you let her talk? Because she's going to. This is like relationships, you know, mixed with other people's opinions tonight. She feels some sense of ownership towards where you're living right now, and probably some hope, she's dreaming about, you know, when she gets to live there. How can we let her be her and not react and not feel small and belittled and not have this, she doesn't get me? Because essentially it sounds like she wants to be you right now. She wants to be in that house living with her guy right now. Right?
Yeah. I've done some things, like, for instance, on the top of the piano, she has old pictures of the people that used to own the home. Mm-hmm. And I don't like those pictures. I think they're creepy every time I look at them. So what I did was I turned them around and put our pictures in front of it, like on the back side of the frame, mm-hmm. so that her things are still there. I just moved it to where it's our way. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to figure out things like that. And I also telling myself in my head, just let her, like when you're saying this, I'm thinking in my head, let her do the talking and let her wish until my dad says, I don't want to move. Because then it's on him, not me.
Yeah. I mean, you could totally do that. It sounds like she's got some stuff to resolve, you know, as far as where she's going to live and with whom, right? And yeah, so maybe the real problem here isn't necessarily what she's saying. It's the uncertainty of, you know, can I settle in here? Can I call this mine? Or, yeah. You know, am I just a tenant for a minute? You know, so if you knew that house was yours for the next 100 years, would it matter what she said?
I think it would shift and it wouldn't bother me as much because it would be like, it's mine anyway. But I would still want to keep her wishes. You know what I mean? Because they do the work and it is the family home.
Yeah. And you but do that out of respect for her, but not out of obligation. Right? Just because you want to. That's the difference. Right? That's how you're showing her love, by respecting her wishes and taking care of the house and doing the best you can. And whatever. You can do that right now, day to day, while she's talking, and not let and allow her to have her opinions and allow her to have her hopes and her dreams and her wants and her wishes.
And so when I get really upset, you know, what do you suggest my next best move be? Like the other day, I was really upset about it. Because our washer went out. Mm-hmm. So, and it's her washer. So I immediately like binge ate like 5 pieces of candy real super quick. Mm-hmm. And then I just said, stop, you know, and then I didn't eat lunch because I was still so angry. So I just waited till I was done because I heard that in a call. But I'm like, I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that every time.
Well, the reason you grabbed something to eat was because you were uncomfortable feeling angry. Sometimes we just got to get mad. Sometimes we just get mad. Sometimes we emote. Sometimes we cry. It's part of life is the 50-50 that Corinne talks about. You know, sometimes it's great and it's happy. Sometimes it's not. And that's just part of being, you know, a human being, is recognizing that sometimes it's not. what you were doing when you grabbed the candy was a reflex to not feel. Okay. What you did when you put the candy away and said, I'm not eating again until I'm hungry, was allowed yourself, even for a few minutes, to feel. You were probably not wanting to be angry. What if you just said it's okay to be mad? Right? I'm feeling angry right now. Why am I feeling angry? Because she shouldn't have said what she said. Then when you're calmer, you kind of sit back and you think about that thought. She shouldn't have said what she said. Is that true? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe she's allowed to say anything she wants. Maybe it's up to you to monitor your reaction to what she says. Right? Just like this right here. She's talking up here. Your thought is she doesn't see my side. Maybe she does. Maybe she wants your side. Right? Maybe she totally sees herself living in that house and she just can't yet. And that's created frustration on her part. Right?
Frustration doesn't mean I have to eat. Just because I'm angry and I'm feeling that doesn't mean.
Right. It's so interesting. When I was thinking about this call, I was thinking about how am I going to coach people who just want affirmation and validation? Because that's what a lot of other people's opinions coaching is about. You know, my boss doesn't tell me I did a good job. My husband doesn't tell me I love you. This is exactly opposite. We've got a mom here who's saying all the things. And you reacting in your practiced way with frustration and anger and feeling small and belittled, right? What would you, in a perfect world, when she comes in, she cruises through and she sees the Christmas tree and she says, I would have done it this way, I'm changing it. How would you like to respond? Have you even considered how you could respond differently?
No, because if I say okay and let her do it, then I'm not happy. But if I don't want her to do it and say different, then she's not happy and then we're both not happy.
But you could be happy. You could be neutral. You might not be happy. I mean, it might not be, sure, Mom, let's redecorate the whole house. But you could be, you could probably sum up a little neutrality or compassion or understanding. You know, something that's a little bit less than happy. What if you just understood what her motives were? Patience, maybe. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really, the thought occurs to me, it's not really giving her a pass. It's showing it for yourself, right? Because your reactions, honestly, you're the one feeling the anger. She's not. She's creating her own frustration and anger. She's not feeling it because you are. You're the one eating because of it. You know it's coming. It's November 30th. We got 25 days, right? Probably more if you keep the tree up longer than Christmas Day. Or whatever. I mean, I just assumed Christmas. You might be having Hanukkah or something else. I don't know. But the point is, you've got several weeks to plan for this and to devise a way that you don't react by eating. Maybe you want to feel angry, but maybe you don't. Maybe you don't like how you feel when you're angry. Maybe you'd rather choose something else.
Yeah, because when I first started this program, you know, I was a very angry person. Like, I would get so angry, I could not control it. And whatever Corinne and you do, you mainly, which is because you're so calm, I like listening to you. I'm not that way anymore, but this is the one situation. That's why I jumped on here. So
why do you think you respond in anger?
Just because I'm just frustrated. I don't feel.
Sometimes anger is super easy to go to when there's really something else bothering you.
It just makes me, it's angry, but it's because I'm sad too. Like, because I want to live here. You know, this is the nicer home. If we don't get to live here, then we want to find somewhere else, which essentially makes them upset because they may not be able to pay for both homes and they may lose their home they're currently in, you know, and so I think of all of that. So then I'm like, well, then I'm going to be unhappy and sad because I'll have to live somewhere I don't want to
live. Well, that's your choice. That's totally your choice. It's their choice whether they try to pay for them or they sell one. It's your choice where you live. You don't have to live where you're living right now. You could move out. Say, you know what? I think we're going to buy something, or we're going to rent over here or something like that. You're making a choice to live there. And in doing so, you're choosing mom talking. So when it comes down to it, if you're going to live there and mom's going to talk, how do you want to show up? Every time she talks, do you want to be angry and sad? Or do you want to go, yeah, I get it, mom. You want to live here. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then when it comes time for you to move out, you have another choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make those choices based on what's best for you. You're not going to be able to move into that house and hope she's happy. Her happy is up to her. If there's one thing Corinne teaches and does an amazing job teaching, it's responsibility for your own thoughts and your own feelings. And understanding that you're not responsible for other people's thoughts and feelings too. When she comes cruising in that house and sees those pictures turned around, it's not your fault she gets angry. She's creating the anger based on what she's thinking.
Yeah. And I just stay neutral.
And you just say, if you come from the South like I do, you just say, bless her heart, she didn't get the thought work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that help? Does that help?
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anger is an interesting emotion because for those, I don't go to anger fast. I go to probably sad or doubt fast. Doubt probably is the big one for me. But for those of you who go to anger quickly, it's usually because that's an emotion that you know. And that's one that's easy to access. And when you stop and just pause for just a minute and say, why am I really angry right now? Just like I did with you, underneath that was sad, probably small. And you probably felt small and belittled because you were sad because of her reaction to the decorations and to the house.
Okay.
She's gonna have that reaction, whether you're happy, sad, mad, compassionate, patient, upside down, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what she's going to do.
I just need to work on, and I don't journal. I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm just trying to get back on the bandwagon, but I could journal thoughts to have ahead of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could write them down. You could actually, a really great thing to do is to sit there in that chair and just close your eyes a minute and picture her walking in that house and rearranging things. And then picture yourself and the reaction you want to have and the things you want to think. That's called visualization. And doing that in a quiet space is practice for your brain. Your brain doesn't know it hasn't already happened. So if you do that two or three times, when it actually does happen, you're ready with, how do I want to react? What do I want to say? I want to just get out of the way. Do I want to fuss? Do I want to? Yeah, that looks good there. You know, what do you want to do? Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See you soon. All right. Bye. Right, Terry, you're next. Hello.
Yes.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well, thank you.
Awesome. Well, I just raised my hand so quick. I'm like, come on, it's Kathy, raise my hand. I don't So opinion, and you mentioned this during the previous discussion about, you know, my boss or this. And so what I've noticed, mostly it's at work. If I meet with my boss and he's the CEO and he doesn't agree with me, or I don't want to say gives me whatever I'm asking for, or he questions it, I start feeling that he doesn't think I'm doing a good job. And it will ruin the rest of my afternoon. Like, no work gets done. I might have to leave early, which ultimately then leads to popcorn or snacks or what have you. And really trying to work to say, this person, my boss, is not, he doesn't validate my existence, mm-hmm. but it's still happening. It's not as bad as it was initially. So I've been in this job about 4 years. But if I was hiring someone and this person was going to have to relocate from Chicago, mm-hmm. and the way our system works, you just put in the data of who you're hiring, et cetera, and then your boss has to approve it. And in this case, my boss is a CEO. Mm-hmm. So he hadn't approved the job offer, and I was on the floor and I just popped in and said, hey, I didn't know if you had any questions about this job offer. And he says, well, he's from Chicago. You know, it's a different culture. And it was like he was second guessing it. And I've hired, I don't know, 20 people since I've been here. Yes, some people have left, but you know, that's how things go. And I just said, I don't know what I said to him, but it was 11 a.m. when I stopped by and he made those remarks, and I walked back to my other building. I'm in a different building. I didn't get any more work done. I started second guessing. Should I call and resend the offer? And so luckily it was a Friday, so I left early. But it still was on my mind, and it annoyed me. It annoyed me greatly that I shifted into second guessing myself about this person and their credentials, and then what if what Lynn said was true, and this person comes, they don't mix with the culture, and I have to fire that person. And it's this whole, but it ultimately ends into sitting, I don't know who it was, maybe it's Coach Judith talked about her eating chair. So I end up sitting in the eating spot, eating different snacks and really overeating, not following my plan, whether that plan was what I was going to eat or what I was going to do, because I was so concerned about what he thought.
Okay. So when you think he doesn't think I'm doing a good job, how do you feel?
I feel like I'm not good enough.
I would call that inadequate. Is that good? Right. So we can put not good enough. Or inadequate. Not good enough is interesting because it's not really very clear what it means.
Yeah.
We can say not good enough and apply it to a lot of things. That means we don't have to think about it. Not good enough. Oh yeah, just not good enough, right? Not good enough as compared to what, right? So it's kind of ambiguous. It's an ambiguous term. But for you, when you feel that way, not good enough, and you leave work, eat, or stay at work and don't do anything, second guess yourself, you really aren't being good enough at your job. Right. Mm-hmm. So you kind of let that feeling, you're not good enough at your plan. You're not good enough at, you know, taking care of yourself. You're not good at good enough. You just kind of, it just kind of overtakes everything.
Yeah.
right? That's true. All because you have a thought that he doesn't think you're doing a good job. He just asked you some questions. He just said some words.
That's true.
And you went straight to, he's questioning me. I must not be doing a good job.
Right. I go straight to that. He has no confidence in my abilities.
Right.
I go straight to that and start thinking about, okay, well, if I get fired, what would my next move be?
And let me ask you this question. You said you worked there for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You still getting a check?
Yes.
You must be good enough. They're still paying you.
That is true. They are.
Right?
Right. They are.
I have struggled with this not good enough myself.
Mm.
And sometimes I just take it down to what my mother used to say, brass tacks. Mm. I don't know what that means, but just take it down to the bare center. They're still paying me. I must be doing all right. Right? So when Craig calls me up and she says, Kathy, why'd you do that? My first inclination is, oh goodness, I've done it wrong. Right? She doesn't think I'm doing a good job. She's questioning me. But then I pull myself away and I think to myself, she's still paying me. That means I make that mean. I must be doing something right. Mm-hmm. So why don't I just explain it and let her tell me if I need to shift? Because if she tells me I need to shift, that's her investment in me, right? So if you go to your boss, what'd you say his name was? Lynn?
Lynn, yeah.
Lynn, you go to your boss and he says, Terry, I don't think I would have done it that way. I think I would do this instead. What he's doing is he's giving you some of his knowledge to guide you and invest in you, so because he's got experience in that department. And he's saying, I can help you. I can help you here. I'm investing in you. I'm giving you some feedback so that next time it's easier for you. Or you understand my way of thinking because I'm the CEO.
Mm.
Right? Instead of, you're not doing a good job. What if you thought, you know what? He's giving me some of his knowledge, wisdom, opinion. I get to decide whether it's beneficial to me.
Yeah, I could do that. I want to get to that without having to eat popcorn and cheese and crackers.
Well, let me tell you something. It doesn't come immediately. It's something that you have to practice because your brain is so used to now going, oh, look, he's questioning me. I'm not doing a good enough job. Or he doesn't think I'm doing a good enough job. That's when you have to see the thought. You have to really shine this huge bright light on that thought and say, there it is. What do I want to think right now instead? Because I don't want to eat the day away. I don't want to leave work. I got stuff to do. So how can I think differently instead? Because ultimately I would bet in most cases his opinion is important to you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But what you don't want to do is give away your own emotional well-being every time he asks you a question or gives you some feedback. You want to respect the words that come out of his mouth and discern whether or not they're important to you. Because ultimately, I mean, he could walk in and say, Terry, I love that red dress. And you could go, okay. You know, that was important in this moment or it wasn't. Doesn't matter. Move on. You know, you see what I'm saying? There are times when he says stuff to you that you actually do filter and decide if you're going to use.
Mm, that is true.
Right?
I do.
It's the same thing here. If he asks you a question about something you did, maybe he's trying to get some of your knowledge. So you don't have to go straight to offering him thoughts about how you're doing, because that's what you're doing here. He doesn't think I'm doing a good enough job. You're trying to see in his head what he's thinking and assuming that's what he's thinking. And then when you assume that, you just go home and eat. And you have no idea what he's thinking.
No, I don't. Other than I'm still getting paid, right?
Right. Other than you must be doing okay because you're getting that check.
Yes. So I think I'm going to go to the brass tacks, very basic bottom line. And maybe that'll help not have this overly emotional reaction and this fear around, oh no, he's questioning it. Oh no, he doesn't like the direction I took. Or something like that.
So what if he doesn't like the direction that you took? What's the problem with that?
I think because I'm trying to people please and want him to like whatever I'm doing in the department, in the direction, as opposed to, he may not even understand fully what we're doing in our department. Because this is the first time this department, this role's reported to him. And maybe he's still learning about what I do.
Oh, that's a really great thought, actually. When he starts asking you questions, it's a really great thought.
Yeah.
This is my opportunity to show him what we do.
Yeah. Instead of catastrophizing and.
Instead of going down the rabbit hole of he doesn't think I'm doing a good job.
Right. And he has the confidence.
Yeah. You're getting that check. So there's something going right. But if you think about, how he might just be asking questions because he just wants to learn more about what you do, what your office, division, whatever your little group is called, does. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you become the authority.
Right. Let me go and educate the CEO.
Right.
So, yeah, I could look at that. I don't know why I have this underlying fear and concern about, I just want everything to go smoothly, and stuff doesn't always go smoothly in life, even when people do or don't like you. So, yeah.
And it's in those moments that aren't super smooth that we actually learn the most if we're paying attention and not sitting in the eating chair.
Right. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I have learned. It's the times, you know, it's like Ren says, you know, it's in those failures that you learn what doesn't work. So you move to the next thing and try and figure out what does. And there's, you know, that's not a problem until you make it one, until you decide it is. Just like when he asks your questions, it's not a problem that he's asking questions until you attach this thought to it.
Right.
Right. But if instead you're thinking, yeah, he sees me as the authority on this, he's asking me because he wants to learn, then you've got a whole different feeling going on and you're not going home anymore. You're leaving the office feeling pretty good.
Right. And I can think that, I just want to make a note for myself. And that's a much better thought than, he doesn't think I'm doing a good job or he's lost confidence.
Yeah.
Because then I get all those feelings around it.
Yeah.
And essentially just sabotage the rest of my own day.
Right. So for you, I would love to see you work toward the belief that you are the authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I think where this is taking you is he doesn't think I'm good and doing a good job might be taking you to, maybe he thinks I'm the authority, all right? You still have he thinks in your thought line. Well, try that on for a little while. And if you believe you're the authority, then work into he's asking me questions because I am the authority in my area, department, office, whatever your group is called. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That builds belief in yourself and in your own opinions and how your opinion really, everyone has opinions. That's what goes in the thought line is your opinion, basically. Where we get in trouble is where we start giving other people relevance to what we think they're thinking. like this, right? That's where it gets all muddy and crazy. And that's where our brains go haywire. But if we stay in our own heads and believe in ourselves, what other people are thinking just stays in their thought bubble. It doesn't bother us.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Because we've got our own thoughts and our own beliefs about ourselves. What other people are thinking and believing about us is not as important as what we think and believe about ourselves.
Yeah.
If you have to hang on to, I must be doing all right because I'm getting that check for a little while, there's nothing wrong with that either, because that begins to build that belief in yourself and in your job.
Yeah. I like that, moving towards thinking to where I know and believe that I am the authority on my role and what I do in the organization. Which is important, because I'm going around auditing people in internal audit. I can't go flipping just because someone thinks one way or another.
Right.
So
internal audit. I used to do that years ago. I was right out of college. I was an auditor for the state comptroller's office. So I went into state departments and state universities and audited their compliance with federal, you know, their federal grant compliance and all the college and university financial statements and all that kind of stuff.
Fun stuff.
Yes, a long time ago.
For some people. Ago. Yes.
But, and I don't know, it's interesting work, especially. So are you internal audit with a corporation or a?
Yeah, with a bank.
With a bank. Okay. So it's probably, go ahead.
It's essentially the same: policies, procedures, federal regulations, and compliance. Yeah.
Good stuff. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon. Good luck.
Kathy. Bye.
Bye. All right, Sapphire, let's see what you got. You're not coming up. All right, I'm going to move you back to attendee and see who's next. Lee, let's see if I can get you to come up. There you are. Hello. Well, morning for you.
Yes.
Everyone, this is Aussie Lee, and the other side of the world from me. Is it hot there? Yes. We have snow.
Oh, it's terrible. You can see how red my face is. I've been gardening for the last couple of hours.
I love your hat, too.
Oh, yeah. I like my hat. It's one of the ones that actually fit right. Mine's a left field relationships thing, too, and what other people think. And like, as you know, I live with my parents, and my mum is in all of my business, and she tells the whole district all of my business. And I really want to be able to put up no BS, you know, the little blue things with, you know, sayings and tricks and things on it, and the swag that's coming. And I really want to put them up, but the whole conversation and the, you know, that's all going to be talked about everywhere is doing my head in. So at the moment, everything is in a drawer, and I don't know. My kids know about it, and then a couple of friends, and that's it.
Okay. So you're worried about her opinion then?
It's not so much her opinion as, it's her opinion, and, you know, she's got to know it all, and then she's got to tell everybody, and then it's everybody else's opinion that comes from whatever she said.
Okay, so tell me what the problem with, all right, so you don't want to put this stuff out because you don't want her to say things and then to tell everyone in the district, you said?
She does.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what's the problem with everyone in the district knowing that there's a Corinne sticker on the refrigerator?
Part of it is I feel embarrassed, and why? I don't really understand why.
Why do you feel embarrassed? Just talk. Tell me why you're embarrassed.
Because it's my business. I don't want to have to explain. I just don't want people knowing my shit. I think some of it, I've really done a lot of TDLs and thinking and journaling about it. And I think some of it comes down to, throughout my marriage, whenever my husband cheated on me, which was a lot, everybody else knew but me. And I've got to really dislike other people knowing my business, and I'm assuming that's where it's coming from. There's a lot of anxiety around it. Yeah.
So tell me what your business is that you don't want anyone to know in this case.
With no BS, who's she and what's she doing and, you know, what's this saying? And mm-hmm. It's just having to explain and explain and explain and justify, I suppose. And
what's embarrassing about something about
I'm uncomfortable about it.
What's embarrassing about being a member of No BS?
I think it's around my weight and the weight battle. I've been called fat by my husband my whole life and, you know, kids at school before that, and I never felt, you know, like I was in control of it like I am now. And I suppose I don't know. It feels like judgment or something. Like I feel that there's judgment coming when they want to know my stuff. I'm not sure. Well,
yeah, okay. I'll give you that. So everyone, this is what's so interesting. Because we're human beings and we all have thoughts, we all have opinions, and we all judge each other all the time.
Hmm.
I mean, you have an opinion about me right now. Okay. I don't know what it is. It's a good one. Okay. But that's a judgment. Okay. Hmm. I told you I love your hat. That's a judgment. Hmm. Right?
Hmm.
It's an opinion. It's all those thoughts, opinions, judgments, it's all wrapped up. We tend to give more weight to one word over the other, but that's generally, they're all generally the same thing, right?
So it goes back to what you were saying to the last caller, in that it's just words and
We, I'll never forget, we were at an in-person camp, so you know it was a while ago. And one of the girls stood up to be coached, and the room is probably 200 people in the room. And she said, my table encouraged me to be coached, but I was afraid that you all would judge me. And she went on to tell her story. And the first thing Corinne said was, of course we judge you. We're human beings. Everyone judges everyone. So don't even think for a minute, I mean, that you're not judging me, I'm not judging you. Somebody on the call might be judging my coaching. You know, whatever. I mean, everybody has opinions. Everybody has thoughts. But what you said was so interesting. You hold on to the embarrassment and the shame and the anxiety because that's what you know. That's what you knew as a child, what you knew in your marriage. That's what you've practiced all along. Mm-hmm. But then you said, I wasn't in control like I am now.
Yeah.
Do you remember saying that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So now
control you have that's come out of this course is huge. Yeah.
So now you have a new feeling that you can nurture. You're so used to going back to embarrassed and anxious with regard to what other people were thinking about saying, thinking and saying about you. Now you feel in control because of something you're thinking. I'm figuring this out. I'm finally getting this. I have a new way of thinking. Whatever it is that's creating this in control thought for you becomes about you.
Yeah.
Embarrassed.
And it comes and goes in waves.
It does. It does. But because it's new, right? Mm. Embarrassed and anxious worries about what someone else is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Controlled is all about how you're thinking.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. You see the difference?
Yep. Yeah.
So I have had this pulled out, and I'm going to take you through it, and I'm going to tell everyone it's called Take It or Leave It. It's a flow chart, and I'm going to put it on the show notes to this call, and it's dealing with opinions, and we'll go with the whole district's opinion about your weight. Okay?
Because they got nothing better else to do than to talk about everybody else. Yep.
Right. So the first question you ask yourself is, did you hear them say that? Did you hear them say it?
A lot of them will come to me and say, oh, I heard you doing this, or I've heard this happen in court, or I've heard, So they tell me and ask questions.
So we'll try and keep it narrowed down to your weight, okay? or this won't work. So let's, okay. So if the answer is no, then you forget about it. Delete. Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, then you ask yourself, do you know this person? So this person that may have said something about your weight, do you know them? Okay. So if the answer is no, you don't know them. So it's just some random dude walks up on the street and they say something, then it's that's a happened. Delete.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah, but we don't care about random guy. It's a delete.
No, it's funny, isn't it? Yeah.
Right? So if it's a yes, then you ask yourself, is their opinion valuable to you? So this last person that said something to you about your weight, was their opinion valuable to you?
No, not really.
Guess what?
Not anymore.
It's a delete.
It used to be.
Right.
Yeah.
So actually the answer on this one says, are you kidding? Delete. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. In July camp, when I got coached, it was about, you know, letting go, just let the words be and sit with it. And I'm doing that with everything else but this one thing. Yeah.
But if that's a yes, if their opinion is of value to you, then you ask yourself, could it be from love?
Mm.
And if it's a no, this chart says, OMG, that's a delete.
Delete.
And if it's a yes, you ask yourself, was it helpful or possibly true? And if that's a no, it says WTF, for sure delete. And if it's a yes, then you pause and think and decide. You decide what you're going to think about it. Not you just take their words and decide what you're going to think about it. So in this scenario that we have, this person who, you know, you lost this person back when their opinion was valuable to you, wasn't valuable to you. Okay. Mm. So you didn't have to go all the way through the chart. But if it is somebody who is talking to you because they're concerned about you and they love and you love them and what they're saying might be true, then you still get an opportunity to choose what you're going to think about their words.
Yeah, I must admit, I've just always just felt ashamed that people knew my stuff. And yeah, I think what I'm going to do is take a screenshot when you put it in the show notes and put it on my phone like when unlock your phone, because I think that's important.
I think what you tend to do here when you're feeling this embarrassment and ashamed and all that is you're actually giving their what you think they might be thinking a lot of your emotional energy.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
And wouldn't it be amazing to use that emotional energy to better yourself?
To feel
in control, to work on that feeling of controlled that you want to nurture and
and that I'm enjoying.
Mm. That you're enjoying, right. That's really making a huge change in your life.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So I'll give you, this is a quick snapshot. I'm sitting in my garden. So this is our veggie garden.
That's beautiful.
And we're at 40 degrees today, so it's stinking hot.
You're at 40, well, that's 40 about, you're 110 Celsius
or something. Yeah,
40 yeah, you're right. That's stinking hot.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, always. But anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you.
You're welcome. You take care, okay?
Thank you.
All right.
I'll look forward to the notes. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right. I think there's something in the Q&A. Let's do that real quick, and then we're and we'll call it. Christine, I have noticed that I analyze every social interaction after they happen. I pick apart what I did or didn't do or say. I'm assuming these thoughts are rooted in my insecurities. Is the best defense to just redirect my thoughts? It can be, but it really doesn't address the insecurities. Okay? So I would ask myself, why do I feel insecure in this moment? What am I not giving myself in this moment? Okay. So if you're picking apart conversations and you're worried about what someone else is thinking about you, then how can you turn that around and say, I must not be thinking that about myself either? Okay. So I would work on the insecurities for sure. figure out why you feel insecure about whatever conversation you were having. Sapphire, I often don't go places because of what I think other people are thinking of me. Would you go anyway and be uncomfortable and avoid being in pictures or just stay away? Here's the clue again, what you think other people are thinking about you. Okay, so you're actually giving them thoughts. You're actually saying, you must be thinking this about me. What if you were wrong? Okay, that's what I would do. That would be your first step, is I would go anyway. I'd watch my brain go, well, he must be thinking this and she must be thinking that. And then I would say, if they weren't thinking that, what if I were wrong about them? Here's the thing. This is so interesting. I'm so glad you brought this up. I did this research. The people in our lives can be separated into three different categories. They're casual relationships. It says 85% of the people in our lives who aren't even thinking about us. Okay? We are essentially wasting a lot of time and emotion on this group of people who are in our lives, who are busy thinking about other things, usually themselves. Okay? 85% of the people in the world. The second group are people you love who are still not thinking about you. This is about 10% of the people that you know. They, if they're thinking about you at all, it's in comparison to themselves. Okay? It's because they're feeling insecure because you've had a success or you have a certain hat on or a set of clothes. They're thinking about you, but only in comparison to themselves. And then there's that last group of 5% of the people in the world who are people who really, that we really care about, who are legitimately concerned about us. And they just want to understand us. They're not questioning us or judging us. They just want to understand us. So they might ask a question so they get to know us better, or they understand what they can do for us. These are the people whose reactions are not provoked by insecurity. So Sapphire, when you go out in the world, I want you to think about, for every 100 people you see, 85% of them are not even thinking about you. It's pretty eye-opening, right? So when you start to question what you think they're thinking, when you start to create those thoughts about what you think they're thinking, remind yourself, they could be part of that 85%. Not even thinking about me. They're thinking about themselves right now. Okay? Last one. Can't come on live, but have a question. I have a social media page that I want to use for weight loss, but I'm too worried about what others will say, especially because I'm still overweight. And what if I don't lose the weight or my family sees me eating planned bad food while trying to lose pounds? How do I get over this? Well, what would you tell me? Okay. So this social media account, if you're willing to put your journey on social media, there's probably going to be some people who look at it, right? What do you think about what you put out there? That's what's most important. What do you think about eating planned food? That's what's most important. Other people are falling into this question. You know, if they care about you, they're falling into this group that just wants to understand you, that just wants to, you know, be inspired by you, that just wants to understand what you're doing in your weight loss. Gotta remember, what we think about ourselves is what creates our feelings and our actions on our do line. What other people say, we get to decide what we think about. And if we stay out of their heads and stop worrying about what they might be thinking, then we're ahead of the game because we're usually wrong. You know, if you're trying to guess what somebody else is thinking, chances are you're not going to get it right. And that's the big takeaway I want everybody on this call to go away with. If somebody says words, you actually know what they're saying. But unless you're a mind reader, unless you've got, you know, superpowers, You don't know what somebody's thinking. You have to remind yourself of that continuously so that you can, like Lee, give up the embarrassment and the anxiety and hold on to the control. Okay? All right. We're at an hour, so I'm going to call it. That's all I... Wait, there might be one more in the Q&A. Let's see. Anytime I have good food, my husband makes comments about, well, that's not going to help you. He's allowed to have an opinion. He's allowed to have his opinion. You just show him, okay? He's allowed to speak those words. You can have the thought, bless him, he doesn't have no BS, right? And that leads you to understanding because he just, yeah, he's all or nothing. It's okay. He's allowed to be. All right. I hope that helps you guys. I love talking about other people's opinions because it's a lot of the work that I've done myself. And I can tell you when you get out of someone else's head and into your own, you create much better feelings and much better actions. Okay? All right. You guys have a great evening. I'll see you soon.